want to thank Reva. I almost didn't recognize myself there. But I would just say that, and I'm hoping that my children will testify that indeed I have grown in grace. Thank you, Reva, for those words. It has been my privilege to be able to work with our young people and our children in this church and to actually see their own growth and development in the Lord. And indeed, throughout the past week, we can see and we can say that we are training a generation of prayers. Children and young people who know and understand that the battles that are fought and the ones that are won are first won on their knees before any actions or even any reactions. And I'd like to quote just a passage from the book Prayer, where Sister White says, "The greatest victories are won through earnest prayers. It is now that we are to learn this lesson of prevailing prayer, of unyielding faith. The greatest victories to the Church of Christ are, or to the individual Christian, are those that are gained by, are those that are not gained by talent or education, by wealth or the favor of men. They are those victories that are gained in the audience chamber with God, with earnest, agonizing faith, lays hold upon the mighty arm of power." Indeed, our children have learned the heart of praying, and we ask that you continue to teach them at home, and that you continue to pray with them as they continue to grow. I'd just like to thank all the other individuals who have participated in the service today. Auntie Lauren for the focus on children at risk, for Chloe for that beautiful song, "All of My Help Cometh from the Lord," Gabrielle and Kieran for "God's grace is still amazing us, and we stand indeed in awe of him." And for everyone who actually tuned in from Sunday evening when we posted those videos and asked you to pray for many, many points, we thank you for praying, and we know that God hears our earnest prayer as we lift up before you today, as we focus on children at risk and under the theme, "God Made Our World." Today, we're looking at Jesus Rebuilds. Let me ask you to pray with me as we begin. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Take us now into this segment of our worship. Open our minds to hear your words. Send the Spirit to speak to us. We ask, Lord, that you will change our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you will give us insight as we look into this theme of children at risk and what we can do. Lord, we ask that you will send your Holy Spirit personally and minister to each of us individually, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I am like the lamb at the minute. And I would say that Uncle Kevin should not have been here today. But he is. And probably the only reason I'm standing here is because he said he was not going to be around today. And then I saw him walking into junior Sabbath school this morning. But God is good. And he provides. I just want to just underline a couple of things that we have been talking about for the last week as it relates to children at risk. There's so many things that we have prayed on. Even today, we have touched on a lot of points. And we have one final prayer session for you as we close out this service today. But we need to get an understanding. And I want to thank Auntie Lauren for just giving us a brief definition of what children at risk, who are the persons that are classified as children at risk. I'd just like to say that understanding children at risk is indeed very important for the church in the 21st century. And it's important for us here at Watford that we understand that. Historically, the Christian missions have been marked by concern for children, but not necessarily children at risk. And too often, our concern are church-based. We think about children who exist in families, or we look at just some solutions such as orphanages, but we don't quite understand the whole gamut of what is it that defines a child at risk. And indeed, we could say that in one way or another, while we will not start with the failures, that we have not fully appreciated the responsibility that as a church we bear to the state of children within our own local communities here at Watford and beyond. So this week, I hope that we can find within us, as we have promoted, and that we can expand the missional work of children that we're currently doing, understanding that the kingdom of heaven shall be realized for children, their families, and their communities. And on that point of the kingdom of heaven is for children is where I'd like to just take your mind for a brief moment. The Bible records in Luke chapter 18, and I'm not going to be able to read all of it for you, but Luke chapter 18, verse 15 to 17, we find here an interaction of Jesus with children. The people were bringing their children to Jesus for him to touch them and to bless them. And the zealous disciples saw this and they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and he said something. He said, "Let the little children come unto me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. Let the little children come to me." And in a way, sometimes the popular image that we see of Jesus is Jesus meek and mild. Jesus, the compassionate one who opens his arms and blesses his children. Jesus who is gentle, loving, and welcoming. And indeed, Jesus is all of that and more. But if we go back to the statement that he made, that the kingdom of God belongs to children to like these, it is a radical and it is a surprising statement from Jesus. It is surprising because even though the disciples knew Jesus and his teaching, they were surprised at his response to children. And in one way, it challenges their preconception about who is important, who's Jesus' message for, and everything about the kingdom. And if we look at their own response, turning the children away, that earned them a very strong rebuke from Jesus. And in one respect, that makes the story about the radical kingdom of God, as it is intended for us to live on earth and also in heaven. So as Jesus welcomed the children and declared the kingdom belonged to them, we learned what his kingdom is like, who it is for, and what its values are. The kingdom of God is at hand. It begins with children like these, and I'm going to define these little children in a minute. He means his kingdom begin with a child and childlikeness. And so the restoring work of the kingdom begins as we reach out and welcome children who are forgotten, children who are neglected, children who are held back, the children of the slums, the children of poverty, refugee children, children in child labor, the street children, Amari, children in gangs, the fatherless, the outcast, children who do not yet know Jesus, but we know that should they know Jesus, the hope that it would bring to them. Luke's story of Jesus welcoming the children is set against the backdrop of the opening manifesto statement of Jesus Christ of his earthly ministry. And we find that in Luke 4, 18 and 19. And here we find Jesus in the synagogue, and the scrolls were given to him for to read. And he opened the scrolls, and the portion that he opened can be found in your Bibles, in Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 2, where it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The kingdom begins where people are. The kingdom begins in the circumstances that people are in. The kingdom does not wait for children to grow up. The kingdom does not wait for circumstances to improve or to change. It begins there. So today, if children are in poverty, if children are in shacks, if children are hungry, sick, at risk, the kingdom does not hinder them or forget them. And when I speak about the kingdom, I'm speaking here now about the church, about you and me. It begins with them, where they are. We are to welcome them. We are to use our comparative riches to improve their opportunities and to fulfill their potential and to live out something of the kingdom in the process. And in doing so, it is not only the children that experiences God's, it's not only the children that experiences God's kingdom. We too will be touched by the kingdom and understand really what it means to live kingdom-centered lives. What can we learn then from these children that Jesus welcomed? What can we learn? They came to the Lord empty. And indeed, in the upside-down values of God's kingdom, the gospel is first good news to the poor. It is for the ignored, for the disenfranchised. As Jesus welcomed children, he gives them status. He notices them. He tells them the greatest honor of all, the kingdom is theirs. This is indeed an extraordinary picture of the kingdom that Jesus presents to us, where the first shall be last, and where the least are given identity and value. And in that respect, Jesus indeed rebuilds. But let me say it another way, just in case you might have missed that first way. If the gospel is good news at all, it must be good news also to the poor. And wherever there is poverty, wherever there is war, wherever there is strife, wherever there is brokenness, children are the ones that are most vulnerable, most at risk, and most abused. We've got child soldiers, child prostitutes, child labor. We've got child-headed households. We've got child trafficking. And the list goes on. It's a tragic fact that almost a third of the world's children lived in extreme poverty. 30,000 children will die each day from poverty. And that statistics that I just quoted is pre-pandemic and pre the cost of living crisis. Just like yesterday, just like today, one child will die every 3 seconds, largely from preventable causes, which are rooted in poverty, war, and their effects. It is not a pretty sight. And when I was looking at the whole thing, it was not a pretty thing to see or to read. And I hope that as we have prayed this week, we have taken into consideration the status of the brokenness of our world. I know we spoke about the world that God created. It was a perfect world, but the world is broken. But there are still contrasts within our world. So contrast this terrible onslaught on childhood with the Bible's affirmation where Jesus is saying to us that he is going to be rebuilding. Let us look at the Bible affirmation of the young. David, Gideon, Moses, and Jesus himself saying, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." Because I say that the Bible declares that one day, because Jesus himself will rebuild the brokenness of this world and create a new world, the wolves will lie with the lamb. The leper will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. That's the world that God intended for us to live in. If we are serious then, that the kingdom is good news, then it must be good news in a very real and tangible way. Jesus touched, he blessed. Jesus acted out the kingdom, healing the blind, the lame, touching the untouchables, relieving the oppressed. And finally, he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And yet, I find within me a great contradiction, and maybe you will too, as we have prayed, and we have prayed this week. I find a great contradiction. My two children have food and clothes, somewhere warm to sleep. They are in safe schools. They have good friends and good influence around them. They've got a nice big church family here that can expand their spiritual education. And they've got the trappings of the Western modern world at their disposals. Unless you say that this is just in England, my family back home, and I can't think of any of them that is in desperate need of anything. They might want more, but they're not in need of, desperately need of anything. They're living normal lives. They're never hungry. They're okay. If they're in need, their needs can be filled. All is well, I would say, on my home front. And all is well on the home front of my family, is in back at home and all over the world. And I'm sure that as I look around, I could possibly say to you that all is also well on your home fronts. Yet, the contradiction stands all around the world. And even right here in Watford, there are children at risk. Thursday night, when we sent out the video, we provided you with a report of children in poverty in the UK, not in Africa, not in the Caribbean, but in the UK. And frankly speaking, if I may, I would say I have not personally sought out any of these children at risk. I have prayed about them. But if the kingdom, the church, that is you and me, we are told that we should not forget. We should not sit back in blissful ignorance. We should not hinder them. The kingdom, which is you and I, it must begin there for them. So, I don't know what the answers are. But one thing I do know is that when Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven belongs to them, that gives me a responsibility to find them and in relieving their needs, to show them then the kingdom of God that Jesus has prepared for them. And you might say, and some might say, we can't solve it all. There is no way that we can meet the needs of every child that is at risk in the world. There is no way. There is no way that we can find every child in Watford that is at risk and do something about it. But there is an interesting story that is told. Maybe that is where we need to pitch our mind and our thoughts, and allow the Spirit to lead in the actions that we need to take. There is a story about a little boy who was walking on a beach one day, and he was stopping, and he was picking up something, scooping up something from the sand, and throwing it into the sea. And an old man came by and says, "Little boy, what are you doing here?" And the little boy says, "I am saving these starfish that are stranded. If they stay on the beach, they will dry out and die. So I am putting them back into the ocean so that they can live." And the old man says, "Young man, I have been walking this path for 10 years now. Every morning I go for my walk, and it's always the same. There must be millions of starfish that are stranded." And then he went on to say, "I hate to say it, young man, but you will never make a difference." And the little boy says, took up a starfish, scoop up another starfish, and he says, "Well, I just made a difference to this one." There are millions of children who are at risk. And the idea is not to scoop up the millions, but is to find the which one that we are going to make a difference to. And blended with our prayers and our faith and our understanding and our belief that God hears every sincere, earnest prayer, that the which one that we have found here in Watford, it will make a difference. It will make a difference. The world is dark. Children are in pain. They're neglected and abused. Hopelessness saturates families, communities, cities, and entire nations. That's the reality of our existence here on earth. But nevertheless, and I say that again, nevertheless, as followers of Christ, we should be filled with hope, a hope that brings strength, a hope in the wonders and the miracles that Jesus can do for us, a hope that will not be cut off, a hope that will anchor us, and more than anything else, a hope in the name of Jesus, because we know that in the name of Jesus, all things are possible. Amen. A simple search on social media for the string Children at Risk will, on your smartphones, you all have smartphones, will return a staggering amount of media on Children at Risk. The action for us as a corporate body of believers and individual is still, which one will we make a difference to? Which one? Search results are almost too numerous to even say. Why are 1.2 billion children at risk of missing out on childhood? 190 million African children at risk from water-related crises. Child labor rises globally for the first time in decades. And we're not just talking about labor that is secure. We're talking about children working in dangerous situations. And sometimes working in situations that provide comfort for us in our modern environment and the needs of our modern world, yeah? Half of the world's refugees are children. Half of the world's refugees are children. Adolescent mental health insight from the UNICEF State of the World Children Report. It's not a pretty read. Life in the juvenile system, juvenile justice system. The big picture. Online predators putting children at risk, that is in the UK. Hunger in school holidays, millions of British children are at risk. We have prayed and we have prayed. And God, I would say again, is faithful and will act on our intercessions. But we would like to give some feet. We would like to give some hands. We would like to give some time. We would like to give some talent. We would like to give some resources to our prayers. And the question still stands, which one? Which one will we give some feet, some hands, time, talent, and resources to? The songwriter says, and I'm just about closing, there is peace and contentment in my Father's house today. We're not disturbed by wars. We're not disturbed by unrest. There's lots of food on our table. And if you come to my house today, you will not be turned away because there is food. There is singing. And there is laughter. We've had lots of that today. But then the father sadly says, my house is full, but my fields are all empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems that my children want to stay around my table. The feet and the hands and the time and the talent and the resources for the which one? My house is full, but my field is empty. But if we push away from that table, if we push away from that table and we take a look not very far in Watford on the High Street, I understand from the children in Junior Sabbath School that there was an uproar on the High Street when school broke the other day. Our children knew that they needed to get off the High Street, so they got off the High Street. Yeah? Just push away a little bit. Look through the window pane. just beyond our house of plenty. We can hear, we can see. And as I said to you, I would say, honestly and frankly, I have not pushed away. But there is hope and there is growth. My house is full, but my field is empty. There is something for us to do, and we need to do it. So as we reset the strategic direction for Watford Town Church and our individual lives as kingdom people, my prayer today, as we close this week of prayer, is that we will find them. We will find the one starfish that it will matter to among the billions, 1.2 billion children. We just need to find one. The ones the kingdom of God is waiting for and the kingdom has been prepared for. One by one, let us seek them out. Let us to provide hope and relief and direct them to the coming kingdom. Last year, we celebrated another day of prayer, looking at World Day of Prayer for Orphans. Is that right? Yeah. We have not done much since then. But it is my hope that we will do something, because as Jesus rebuilds the brokenness in this world, he is planning something for us, but not just for us. He's planning something for the broken within the world. If you go back to the Genesis story, Genesis says that when God finished his work of creation on the sixth day, he looked and it was very good. It was very good. And we're going to get back there, but we can't get there empty-handed. God created a good world. He created a home. He created a beautiful home for us to live in. But something terribly happened. Something terrible happened. Disobedient and sin entered. And since then, the whole creation is groaning. We know that the whole creation is growing. Groaning as in birth pains up to this present time. And we know that this groaning will continue until the new heaven and the new earth is created by God. We will all remain in that state of groaning. Humans, animal, plants, the whole nature is waiting eagerly in expectancy for everything to be made perfect again. And it is this great anticipation and expectation, the blessed hope that we ought to give, because we've got it. And I'd like to just take us for the next 2 minutes to the passage of scripture that Avi read for us in Psalms 98. The psalmist says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arms has gained him the victory. The Lord made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercies and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God." There is indeed beauty all around us, but there is still a great wonder for all of us who have taken hold of the salvation that God has promised us. There's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And God's righteousness is reflected in his covenant faithfulness to us. For Colossians tells us, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness shall dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." The psalmist says that we are to remember his loving kindness and his faithfulness towards us. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. And because of that, we can break into the joyful sound that the psalmist says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice, sing praises unto the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world, and the people with equity." There is a work to be done. There is a field to be worked. They are starfish, one by one. It will make a difference. It will make a difference. Let us open our hearts. Let us open our minds. Let us allow the Spirit to lead us. And let us put feet and hands and time and talent to our prayers as we have prayed this week. Jesus is going to rebuild. And I want to end on a very hopeful note. Jesus is going to rebuild and he is going to restore. And the brokenness that we see in our world today, with our children, within nature, within families, within nations, will one day end. But ours is the responsibility, and ours, it's not a responsibility, ours is the joy. Ours is the joy to bring people and give them that hope that sets them apart from everyone around them. And when we have done that, then the quotation from The Great Controversy, and I am really ending, says, and I just love this quotation, so if I get excited, don't say anything. Great Controversy, page 678. I think that's about the last page in the book. "And the years of eternity, as they roll, will bring richer and still more glorious revelation of God and of Christ. As knowledge is progressive, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. The more men learn of God, the greater will be their admiration of his character. As Jesus opens before them the riches of redemption and the amazing achievement in the great controversy with Satan, the heart of the ransomed, thrilled with more fervent devotion and with more rapturous joy, they swell the harps of gold, and 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of voices unite to swell the mighty chorus of praise. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." The great controversy is ended. Sin and sinners will be no more. The entire universe is clean. One pulse of harmony and gladness beat through the vast creation. From him who created all things flow life and light and gladness throughout the realms of illimitable space. From the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things, animate and inanimate, in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy, declare that God is love. Amen. Amen.